May be seated. Thank you, team, for leading us into the presence of God through worship, through music. And one of the messages that really stuck out to me in this last song was the concept, let the king of my heart be this person. And I think this thing and this power inside of me, and I begin to process as we were singing, I'm like, what does it mean to let God be the king of my heart? And is that a prerequisite to God holding on? You understand where I'm going with that? That we say, well, God's got us all this taken care of, but what God wants, and we're going to look at that this morning in the message, what God wants more than anything is He wants our heart. And He wants us. And that's what He's after. We're going to see that in the message this morning. I'm just so grateful the way the Spirit often ties themes together between the music, worship time, and the message time. Well, just a little housekeeping thing. I just want to say, I think, Austin, you're graduating today. So congratulations, Austin, from high school. And I know Emily graduated from Del Tech. Kevin, I don't know if Kevin's here, but I know he also graduated. Is that right? You did. Yeah. Okay. You graduated this year, and there's some others, and just a neat time of the year as it's sort of a transition time, and for a lot of people. And we just want to celebrate with you guys and commend you for your work in education. And this is also Memorial Day weekend, and it's a significant weekend for us as a nation, as we remember there's a lot of sacrifice that went into making us a nation here. And it's a good time to remember that. This morning we want to look at a story. We're working through Judges. And I'm just amazed again. And let me just say it this way. It's so amazing to me how that you can take a story and you can read it as a story, and then you can take that same story and dig into it and say, man, there are some incredible truths that we can learn from it. And that's really what we want to do this morning. We want to take a story from the Old Testament, from the life of the children of Israel, God's chosen people throughout the Jewish people today. It's in their history. And we want to take a story from their history that God has recorded for us in His Word. And we want to look at it and we want to say, okay, what is God going to teach us from that today? So I hope you're here this morning with the desire of saying, listen, God, what do you want to show me this morning? What do you want to teach me? And when we approach it with a sincere heart, it's amazing how the Spirit brings life to the Word. And so we want to look for that. We're really going to look at, I always say, what do you remember from a sermon? And we're looking for three words this morning. The words that we're going to talk about, first, we're going to look at the word slavery. Secondly, we're going to look at the word freedom. And thirdly, we're going to look at the word choices. Choices. And we're going to tie those three together. And we'll see as we get to the end here how this all ties together. But just to recap a little bit, if throw the first PowerPoint slide up there, that remember going through Judges, we have this faithfulness cycle where the children of Israel, they're at peace with God, then they forget the Lord, and that leads to failure, difficulties. God brings difficulties into their life, and then they go into a repentance, and the Spirit of God is poured out and raises up someone who then leads them back into a time of peace. And so as we go, we're in Judges chapter 10 and 11. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. These are 10, 11, and yeah, we won't get into 12. But verse 6, it begins the same way as many of these stories do. And it goes like this: again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And so we're right here at the top. They've been at peace, and then they forgot the Lord, and failure happens. And again, they did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Next slide just gives you a little recap here of all the judges that we have looked at through this series. And we are down to a guy named Jephthah. Now, if you ever want to have fun, try typing out a sermon or a thing and spell that name multiple times. It is difficult to get into your brain how that name, I don't know how many times I had to go back saying, wait a minute, how is that spelled again? So I finally figured it out. And if you want to learn how to spell the name Jephthah, I mean, some of you young parents, if you want to name your kids Jephthah, here you go. It's E-P-H. Wait a minute. Let's see here. Yeah. E-P-H-T-H-A-H. No, it's this way. That's how I got it. P-H-T-H-A-H. P-H-T-H-A-H. Jephthah. Jephthah. Anyhow, that was just something I had to get in my brain. So these are difficult things when you're putting a sermon together. You got to get this, okay? Just being it. Okay, so let's see. So we have the children of Israel here in Jephthah's story. Let me just recap this story for you very quickly. So we have the children of Israel. They did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They begin to serve the Baals and the Ashtoreths and the gods of Aram, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, and the gods of the Philistines. Okay? I don't have the verse up here, but I want you to just catch what's happening. The gods of Aram, Sidon, Moab, Ammonites, and Philistines. All the nations around them, they begin to serve their gods. In other words, they got sucked into the culture around them. Okay. So, God sent them into slavery at the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites. So, the Ammonites, they crossed over the River Jordan and they attacked the three tribes of Israel. And we have Israel crying out to the Lord in great distress. This is in chapter 10. Again, I'm not going to be reading this. But when they cried out to the Lord, God chose not to save them. And this is a very interesting response from God. God says, you have forsaken me for other gods, so I'm not going to save you. In fact, he told them, go cry out to those gods if you want to follow them. The Israelites responded back to God, and they had a different response. We're going to look at that in a little bit. And God's heart could no longer bear their misery. If you want to see something about the heart of God, that God, it says it this way, that God's heart could no longer bear their misery. So he raised up a leader to deliver them, and that name was P-H-T-H-A-H, Jephthah. Jephthah. Who was Jephthah? Okay, we're ahead of us here. There we go. Jephthah. His father was Gilead. His mother was a prostitute. He was kicked out of his house by his brothers because he was from... How do you say a brother from a different mother? He was not a full-blooded brother, and so he was kicked out, told he would not get any inheritance. He lived in Tob, And he became a mighty warrior. And I just love it. It's one of these stories where someone who had a really tough life growing up, but that tough life shaped him into somebody that God could use. And this is not part of the sermon. I'm going to go back to it again and again. God, throughout the history of Scripture, we see that God uses people who didn't have a perfect life or a pedigree. Over and over again, God takes the difficulties, the failures that we experience, and he takes them and molds us with them, and he uses us. Over and over again. Now, lived in Tob, he became a mighty warrior, and he led a gang of scoundrels. That's a quote right out from Scripture. He led a gang of scoundrels. In other words, I would compare him to a pirate. He was a pirate, dude. Playing on a recently released movie this weekend. A skillful, old people, that's okay. Young people got that. He was a skillful negotiator. He was trained by life experiences of rejection and being an outcast. And he was someone who learned to negotiate. And he developed an incredible knowledge of people. And he had a cautious attitude toward promises. Is there any wonder why? He didn't trust promises. Life experience he had learned. So, when the children of Israel were desperate, they looked around for someone to lead them against the Ammonites, and they chose Jephthah. His military skill as a pirate gave them confidence in his leadership. And the rejected son of Gilead became their leader. And the first thing Jephthah did was he sent the king of Ammon a letter. And he tried to negotiate a peaceful settlement through reason. And you find that in chapter 11, starting at verse 15. And he tried to negotiate this peaceful settlement and said, listen, what you are attacking us for and saying your justification for ruling over us, it ain't right. And I can show you through history that this is not right. You're wrong. And the king of Ammon refused, said no deal. And chapter 11, 32, verse 32, Jephthah went over to fight the Ammonites, and the Lord gave them into his hands. And he devastated 20 towns from Aroer to the vicinity of Minnith as far as Abel-Karamim, and thus Israel subdued Ammon. So we see Jephthah coming in as a mighty warrior, filled by the Spirit of the Lord, and he delivered the Israelites. Now, there's more to the story, but we're gonna stop there. There's just a synopsis here. Another story of God raising someone up, filling him with their spirit, and able to deliver the children of Israel back into the top of the circle that we begin with, peace. Now, so again, this is not just a story. We want to look and say, okay, what can we learn? What does God want to speak to us this morning? First word I said we're going to talk about, and that is that word slavery. The Ammonites had occupied their land. So the children of Israel were under this oppression, and they were being ruled by a foreign people. Now, what we want to get here is that God actually sold them as slaves. You can go to the first slavery slide. God actually sold them as slaves. Look at Judges 10. Here it is. Because the Israelites forsook the Lord and no longer served him, he became angry with them. Does God get angry? Angry is an emotion, okay? And are we allowed to get angry, by the way, as Christians? Yes, we are. But God says, the word says, we are to control our anger and not let anger control us. It's a big, big difference. Okay? Sidebar. That was free. Okay? No charge. Now, he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and the Ammonites. He was angry and he sold them. An interesting choice of words. selling someone is basically a transfer of ownership. That's what slavery is. And because of their persistent hearts toward the gods around them, God sold them. He let them go because their hearts were turned to these other gods versus toward the one and true God. All right? Now, so when the Israelites cried out to the Lord for deliverance, this was the Lord's response. The last verse I have up there. Verses, but you have forsaken me and served other gods, so I will no longer save you. Go and cry out to the gods you have chosen. Let them save you when you are in trouble. I love that attitude. Gives me a little justification when I relate to my kids. You know, I'd love to use that. Well, God used it, so I can too. Well, God knew had a reason for using it. God had delivered them before many times. History. You see this, God delivering them again and again and again. But they went right back to the same gods. Remember I opened and said all the names of the gods of the different nations around them? Remember that? Yeah, I need to see that. Yeah, remember that? The nations that controlled them at one point or time in history, they went right back and served their gods. Does that make any sense? The very nations that occupied them, that caused them so much grief and misery, they went right back and worshiped those gods. And God had seen this history. He was seeing this, and he knew their hearts. It was like they were addicted to these gods and they kept going back. And this is what idolatry is. Go to the next slide. Idolatry is a focus on what we want versus our relationship with God. And it is this type of idolatry that leads to slavery. When we put our heart, what we put our hearts toward becomes our master. When the deepest needs of our hearts, that's what drives us. And eventually, that becomes our master. So the Israelites, they continued to worship the gods of the nations around them, and God used these same nations to come in and conquer them and put them into bondage. Now, let's think that through a little bit, just real quickly here. What does this look like in your life and my life? When we put our hearts toward things and prioritize things in our life, eventually those same things can become our slave. We can become a slave to those same things. They can become our master. So you put your heart toward having a successful career and making a name for yourself. Over time, how many times have we seen that the career becomes the slave, the master, and we become a slave to our career? We see this also in relationships. How many times have we seen a relationship, let's take a marriage relationship, fail. And then we see people go right back into a same type of relationship and often worse. You see, what I'm driving at here is that what we value in what our hearts are prioritizing, those things often become our masters, and we become a slave to them. They drive us. And if we think about our lives, what we prioritize in our hearts, eventually that rises to the top, and that's where we put our energies. And God still responds this way to us today. Listen, you want to pursue things other than God, or above God, I should say, eventually God will say, go for it. And you'll experience it. You'll experience what it is to be slave to something. So what's the solution? What's the solution here? How do we either move from that life? And I don't know what's going through your brain right now, but man, if in your mind, if you're, there's things that you're saying, you know what? Yeah, I see that in my life where I become a slave to this thing and I hate it. But it's, yet it's been what I've just longed for in my life. You know your heart. You know what's going on in your mind. But if you're finding yourself there, we're going to look at some solutions here. But we're also going to look at some things as a way to keep us from going there, to keep us from getting there to where things become our master. And we're going to use that to look at that through the word freedom. We're going to look at the word freedom. All right, so what happened here? Israel was in great distress from their slavery. And the oppression, by the way, it was bad. Verse 8 says that they were shattered and they were crushed. It had been long. They had been under this oppression for 18 years. And it was affecting not only, you know, there's 12 tribes of Israel, and so this was mainly, it affected Gilead, the Gileadites, the area of Gilead mostly, but it also affected the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Ephraim. And so, isn't that true when we have things come into our lives that it affects people around us? It does. It does. And so the people cry out to God a second time, and they confess their sins. Then the Israelites cried out to the Lord, "We have sinned against you." I'm sorry, this is the first time. "We have sinned against you, forsaking our God and serving the Baals." Their first response, and this was the first time they cried out to the Lord, and God said, "Wait a minute, Nat, forget it. Go serve the gods that you're worshiping." This was the response. And why did God do that? Because in this response, God was just another idol to them. God was just another idol. I think the next slide touches on that. God responded to this with an incredible hard response. "I've saved you before, didn't change how you acted. I'm not going to save you this time. Call on the gods you're worshiping." But God saw that inside their people's hearts, they weren't changed. They were in deep trouble, and all they wanted was God to get them out of trouble. Have you been there? Yeah. All they wanted was for God to get them out of trouble. They knew that God was more powerful than the gods they were worshiping. They knew that. And so they cried out to this God, but God saw their hearts. And he said, "No, listen, God is not just another idol. If we pray, you know, he's not a God that if we pray the right way, if we say the right thing, if we do it just right, then, and we respond with certain actions, well, then God's going to come help me." You see, that's the way idols worship worked. Idol worship worked that you had to do and sacrifice these certain things, and then God would come down and their false God, it would work. Never worked, but this is what they thought. It's an important thought to remember. Remember this. We're going to come back to that at the end of the sermon, okay? So, That's not who God is. God is not just another idol. Rather, what God is after, and where freedom really comes, is when a broken heart turns to God. And you'll see the verse on the next slide here, or this slide. "But the Israelites said to the Lord," this was the second cry to the Lord. "The Israelites said to the Lord, 'We have sinned,'" and this is the key phrase, Do with us whatever you think is best, but please rescue us. When you hear that second phrase, do with us whatever you think is best, what word comes to mind? One word that describes that attitude. Anybody? Surrender. Surrender. That's an important part of repentance, by the way. When you find yourself caught into slavery, caught up in this, into something that's just, you realize you've been doing things against what God wants, it's not enough just to say, oh God, I'm sorry, I'm going to stop this. It is a part of repentance is a total surrender and saying, God, here I am. I realize I failed again. And let me tell you something. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I got to stop because there's some good stuff here. There's some really good stuff here. I love this. Do with us whatever you think is best. Israel's response changed. Not only was there a repentance for their sin, but there was a giving up of self. And listen, these quotes are on the next slide. God is our idol when we say, God, I believe in you because I know that you can do this and that for me. I need you. That's when God is nothing but our idol. But God becomes our God. When we say, God, I believe in you regardless of what you do for me. I just want to know you. I know that you are God. How does the scripture say? Consider the heavens, the works of your fingers. Consider creation. Consider what's out there. Know that he is God and say, God, I want to know you. Regardless of what you do for me. The children of Israel, they got to the point where their motives were not just about relief from their captors, but their motive became to make God their God. That's when freedom comes. And this is where I love this verse. The next slide. When you make God your God, you move the heart of God. When you make God your God, you move the heart of God. This verse. Then they got rid of the foreign gods among them and served the Lord, and he could bear Israel's misery no longer. That just sends shivers up my back as I think about it. They turn their hearts to the God. They begin to prioritize God. And they say, God, you are the one we serve. And in our lives, we begin to say, God, I'm going to put my relationship and my desire to know you at the very top. And when we turn our hearts to God like that, we move the heart of God. Because now that is what the New Testament talks about with our heart. Connecting with God's heart, with our spirit, connecting with God's spirit. God has a heart of compassion. He loves his people. He doesn't want to see us suffer. He wants them to delight in life. But God's priority is for us to have a heart after him, to genuinely love him, pursue him. I have this written down here, and I say this cautiously. But God will allow us to go through living hell in order to claim our heart. Now, I would love if this story ended right here. I said I was going to talk about three words. You remember what the third word was? Choices. 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 The story doesn't end here about Jephthah. And I'm going to tell you the rest of it. It's not a fun part of the story. It's really hard to understand. But there is a truth here that I want us to get that involves the choices we make. In fact, the title of the sermon is actually titled, Making Right Choices in a Free World. Making Right Choices in a Free World. I'm going to begin with this quote, statement. A heart turned to God can still lead to wrong responses in a sinful world. And this is what we see happening in Jephthah's story. Jephthah's story has a tragedy in it that comes from a heart that was tainted by his world experience. Remember what Jephthah's life was like. He was an outcast. He was living, you know, as a leading a band of scoundrels as a pirate. And he was influenced by all these idols and the culture around him. He was not this holy, righteous guy. Okay? Now, but Jephthah was a spirit-filled man. Verse 29 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah when he went to battle. God's hand was on Jephthah. And he knew it. And he should have known that God was going to give him the victory. And this is what I want you to say. He should have known this. But he reverted back to his idol experience. And this is what he did. He made a vow. He made an unnecessary vow with the Lord. It was a wrong vow. And Jephthah made a vow to the Lord as he was leaving. This is as he was heading out to battle. Right after it says that the Spirit of the Lord was on him, he made this vow. And he says, he told the Lord, if you give the Ammonites into my hands, whatever comes out of the door of my house to meet me when I return in triumph from the Ammonites will be the Lord's, and I will sacrifice it as a burnt offering. So Jephthah is saying, listen, I'm going out to battle. And he said, Lord, he was caught up in the moment. I don't know what led him to make this vow, but he said, Lord, if you just give me victory in this battle, when I come home, the first thing that comes out of my door, I'm going to offer to you as a burnt offering. He was bargaining with God. It was a vow that was bargaining with God. You do this, God, I'll do this. That's the way idols work, my friends. No, church, that's not the way God works. You don't bargain with God. God did not ask for this vow. God had given Jephthah his spirit. His hand was on him. Jephthah already had what he needed to win the battle. But just Jephthah's understanding of God, it was skewed by his exposure to the culture around him. And I'm going to tell you, he was still viewing God as an idol. And that is so easy for us to do, to perceive God through the eyes of what we are experiencing. To perceive God, if you're living here in America, to perceive God through an American culture. It's not accurate. We got to be careful with that. And I'll get to that in a second. What God really wants is he wants our hearts. And he wants us to have a heart after him that is in sync with God's heart so that we can sense what God's Spirit is leading, is saying to us and leading us. We don't need to run about making bargains with God. Matt used this slide last week. It was well done. And I want you to see, you know, the outer ring, the body or flesh, black, the center black ring is the soul, and the little red circle in the middle is the spirit. The place where we can connect with a holy God. Okay? Our spirits can connect with God's spirit. This is what God wants from you and I. He wants us to prioritize Him, to pursue Him, and to pursue that spirit-to-spirit connection with God. When you are that spirit-to-spirit connection with God, you don't need to bargain with God. Bargaining is what we know how to do. That's the way we're ingrained. Throughout Scripture, you see people trying to bargain with God all the time. When you get to the New Testament, you see something totally different. The verse that David had up here during the worship time, we can enter in through the blood of Jesus. Because Jesus died on the cross and paid for our sins, we can enter into the very presence of God. And what does that mean for us? That's not a physical location. That's not a church house. That's not an altar. That is the red circle. The red circle. Our spirits connecting with God's spirit. And we learn what God wants. We hear the voice of God through that spirit-to-spirit connection. It is so easy for us to view our relationship with God through the eyes of our culture, as I said, through the eyes of the way we were raised, through the eyes, and actually even more difficult, is we often view God through the eyes of our past church experience. What we've learned in church, the way we've experienced God, all three of them, culture, family, church, all three of them are human-driven. The way we connect with God's Spirit is through this book. Spending time and just saying, God, what do you want to speak to me in this book? Now, I want you to think a little bit. I said at the beginning, we're going to look at a story here, Jephthah, and we're going to see what God can speak to us through it. And I don't know what you've heard this morning, but hopefully you heard more than the story of Jephthah. And this can happen for you on a consistent basis when you begin using this scripture and saying, God, what do you want to tell me? And it really comes down to the question of, do you desire God to be the king of your heart? Do you really want that relationship and that having God as a priority in your heart? Come back to that. Jephthah, he returned home from a victorious battle. Who came out to meet him? The first person out the door was his daughter. Scripture says that he was devastated, but his view of God prevented him from breaking his vow. His view of God prevented him from breaking his vow. This was a vow made by Jephthah. It was not a vow that God asked him for. Keeping the vow was more important to Jephthah than it was to God. Now understand, there's vows were significant in the Old Testament. And I'm not trying to minimize that. But this was a one-way vow. It was based on a wrong view of God. And many times we make choices in life that are based on a wrong, let me rephrase. We need to be careful that we don't make choices in life based on a wrong view of God. In this case, Jephthah had not understood God's character of grace. There was a fear of God based on his perception of God as an idol. And it was a misunderstanding of grace that led Jephthah to make this vow to God that ultimately cost his daughter's life. By the way, his daughter, after hearing the vow, asked for 2 months to spend time with her friends, mourning the fact that her life was going to end. And then she willingly gave up her life. It's an incredible story when you think about it. Incredibly, incredible tragedy. Worship team, you can come up. As we end here, I just want us to think about that when we turn our hearts toward God and prioritize our relationship with God, there's freedom that comes with it. And that freedom can lead us to right choices in life, lead us to proper responses to things we're dealing with in life, knowing the Word of God. Listen, if Jephthah would have just simply went back to the Word of God, what he had, the Old Testament law, he would have read that human sacrifice is detestable to God. He made a vow with God with something that God detested. Why? Because he didn't know what the Scripture said. Right choices come from time, knowing what the Scripture says. And through this, because through this, we learn the character and the heart of God. And it shapes and molds how we respond to life. Jephthah was depending on his own skill. He was worried about his reputation as a warrior. There was a fear. I believe there was obviously a fear going into battle. I don't blame him. I would have been afraid too. I don't care how many battles I would have won. This was the first time I was leading out and to among the nation, a nation into battle. I'd have been afraid. And I'd have wanted to do everything I can to make sure that I had God's blessing, and he did it. And it was his mistake, and it resulted in a tragedy. God's Spirit wants to connect to your spirit. Pursue that. Pursue that. The Word and the Spirit together. This is the heart of what it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Learn the Word. Learn what it is to connect to the Spirit of God. Put yourself in a position where you can hear from God. I feel like I'm speaking to a graduating class this morning. Because what I'm telling you is, prioritize your relationship with God above other things in your life, other things that you pursue. And right choices will begin to happen. And it will release God's blessing and guidance for your life. If you're here this morning and you're saying, you know what? I'd love to spend time in the Word, but it's boring as all get out. I fall asleep. I don't understand it. I'd love to learn what it is to know how to pursue God through the Word and through His Spirit. I'm going to invite you to talk to me, and we'll help you. There's some people here that know how to do this, and we'll help you. So I don't want to throw out something and say, well, you're on your own. No, one of my hearts for this church is that we teach people how to spend time in the Word and hear the voice of God. This has been a long sermon. I'm sorry. I hope you haven't fallen asleep. But I hope you also are hearing a little bit of my heart here this morning. I really believe in this message that we just spoke, that I just shared with you. I believe it can change your life. We're going to end with a song that sort of says, Lord, it's a newer song. It says, Lord, I find you in the seeking. Oh, how I need you. And a couple weeks ago, last week maybe, we ended with the song, Oh, How I Need You. And let me tell you, we can sing that song. How's that, David, how's that song go? Oh, how I need you. The one we ended with a couple weeks ago. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. Do you realize that that can be a song that we sing strictly viewing God as an idol and saying, God, this is just what I want from you. I need this for my life. That attitude is the heart of the prosperity gospel that's being preached out there. It's the heart of the church growth movement of just saying, man, come on in. God will give you what you want. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God says, Lord, seek me. Seek me. Lord, I want to seek you. I want to know you. And what you do with my life, Lord, that's okay. Because I want you. You get it. You get it. Let's sing. Start playing. I'm going to pray. Lord, take this. Take this message and drive it into my heart, Lord. Oh, I can't. I need to know this, Lord. I need to keep this at the front of my brain, Lord. To seek you. To pursue you. Our culture, Lord, everything around us, Lord, wants us to just focus in on what, God, what can you do for us? But Lord, give us a heart attitude that simply, change our hearts, Lord, that simply says, here I am, Lord. I want you, regardless of what you do with my life. Give us the heart like the children of Israel had. When you saw their misery and you had compassion on them. Give us that heart, Father. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. Amen. So we sing. I encourage you to think about talking to God with exactly what you feel in your heart here this morning. What has God spoken to you this morning? And just respond back to Him. Stand with us. It's an upbeat song. It's a fun song. Have fun singing this. But don't miss the words. And if you want to come and just talk to God here this morning at the altar and say, I'm going to step out. I'm going to make that. Let God know that I'm serious about this. Use this altar. It's what it's here for. Lord, I find you in the seeking.